Okay, good morning. So as you've already heard and seen, we had a great week here at Summer Jam 2018. And I have the privilege of leading our incredible team of 80 volunteers and over 175 kids through their Summer Jam week and teaching our kids about the power of God. And so Summer Jam this year was great, and I want to tell you a little bit about that. But I want to focus in on this word, the power of God. When Mark told us that through our summer teaching series, we would be looking at finding the Jesus way through the characters of the Bible, I immediately knew I wanted to preach on Elijah this morning. Elijah has been a faithful friend to me since the time when I was a little kid, and I always loved the Elijah stories in the Bible. Mark had booked himself to preach on Elijah, and so there was a bit of negotiating that had to go on before I came to today, but I won. I don't know how that happened. and we are going to be looking at the story of Elijah this morning. There are two words that I think of when I think of Elijah's story, and they are power and provision. All throughout the story, Elijah is turning to God and asking God to do the hard work of bringing the power to the people and providing for their very need. All throughout the story, Elijah is declaring that Yahweh is God. In fact, this is what Elijah's name means. Eli means God, and Yah, or the end of his name, is short for Yahweh. Yahweh is God. And so this is a very exciting morning for me. It's near and dear to my heart to bring this story to you. If you were at Summer Jam this week, kids, you know that we learned two Elijah stories already this week. We heard about how after the drought had begun, Elijah fled to the brook at Cherith and was fed by the... Does anyone know? The ravens. That's absolutely right. And later in the week, we heard that Elijah encountered the voice of God. And Elijah thought that this would be a strong and powerful voice. And so he was surprised when the storm came and God said, that is not my voice. And the earthquake came and God said, that is not my voice. And the fire came and God said, that is not my voice. But then there was a still, small whisper. The most powerful thing is the voice of God. And it came in a way that Elijah could have never expected. The story we're going to look at this morning actually falls right in between these two stories. And so, kids, you guys are already ahead of the game. Grown-ups, if you want to catch up this week, I would recommend you read 1 Kings 17 to 2 Kings 2 and catch the whole vision of Elijah's story because it is an incredible one. Today, we're looking at 1 Kings 18, and you can turn with me there in your pew Bibles. It's on page 283, and if you're a kid in the house or an artist, I would really encourage you, there is some paper and some markers at the back. I want you to draw your way through this story with me, okay? I got some great pictures from the first service, so I know you guys can do it. Grab a piece of paper, grab some markers. The ushers have them, and they'd be happy to get those to you, and we're going to have a lot of fun as we draw our way through this story. Okay? Yeah, good. Excellent. So before I get started, I want to tell you about the characters in the story. There are four of them. First, there's King Ahab. King Ahab is a bad, evil, wicked king. These words are the words that are used to describe King Ahab in the Bible as he disobeys God and worships another god. And so he is not a good guy. Okay, he is our villain in our story today, just in case you were wondering. King Ahab worships the god of Baal. Let me tell you a little bit about the god of Baal. The god of Baal is not real, but he was a god that the ancient Near East believed was in charge of the weather, in charge of the rain specifically. And so the god of Baal was supposed to bring fertility to the land, and he was considered the rain god. We have Elijah. He's the prophet. And a prophet is one who listens to God and speaks what he hears. He speaks the truth of God over the people. And Elijah's message is pretty consistent. His message throughout is Yahweh is God. Elijah worships the one true God of the Bible. And this is the fourth character of our story, Yahweh, the God of the Bible. Let me give you a little background. In chapter 17, the text directly preceding our text, Elijah warns King Ahab that if he does not repent and turn to the God of the Bible, there will be no rain in the land. We all know what happens to our grass in the summer. It turns brown and dies because there is no rain in the land. Well, imagine 3 years there is no rain in the land. Drought had set in. Famine had set in. There was no crops. There was no food. The people were starting to get desperate, and Elijah was being blamed for all the trouble. But Elijah knows better. He knows this isn't his fault. This is Ahab's fault, because Ahab has disobeyed God, and God said, if you continue to disobey, there will be no rain. There was a cause and an effect. And so Elijah turns to the people, and he says, you have to decide. You have to decide, are you going to keep worshiping Baal, the god of rain, who doesn't seem to be producing any rain, or are you going to worship God of the Bible, Yahweh, the one true God? And a contest begins, a contest. And so here's where, if you have a piece of paper, you need to fold it in half for me, okay? Good. You know, get a good line there. And then open it up, and on one side, I want you to put for God. If you don't know how to spell God, it's G-O-D, okay? For God. And on the other side, I want you to put for Baal. That's B-A-A-L. It's a very weird word. B-A-A-L. Okay, so we've got for God on one side and for Baal on the other. Here is our contest. Well, Elijah, he has a plan, and his plan comes to him through God himself. Elijah says to Ahab, what we're going to do is we're going to gather all of the prophets of the land. And you guys are going to call on the name of Baal. Call on the name of your God. And you're going to ask that your God would send fire from heaven. There will be two altars. And on your altar, you can put the wood and then a sacrifice. And if your God brings fire from heaven, then we'll know that your God is the one true God. But I'm going to call on the name of my God, Yahweh. And if my God sends fire from heaven, we will know that my God is the one true God. And so on your pieces of paper, you can draw some altars. Now, this is a word we don't use very much in North Vancouver in 2018, and so let me explain what an altar might look like. It would be a block that has stones on the bottom, okay? And then there would be campfire wood, okay? And then you would put an animal on top of it. In this case, it's a bull. And so you can draw two altars on your piece of paper, one on the side that's for Baal and one on the side that's for God. Okay, keep drawing. This is going to be a great picture. It's going to be epic. Okay, it says in the Bible that as the stage was being set, as the altars were being built, Ahab gathered the prophets. It says that there were 450 prophets of Baal that Ahab gathered. That's a lot of people. That's more people than are in this church right now. 450 prophets of Baal. And it says that just for extra measure, he gathered 400 prophets of Asherah, another god. And so there were 850 people on the side that's for Baal. As you can see, this student drew a lot of people. You can do that too, okay? Put lots of people on the one side. It says in the Bible that there was only one prophet of God left, Elijah. And so Elijah stood near the altar of God, the one true God. These two, Elijah said, why don't you guys go first? There's more of you. And so here is Elijah saying to the prophets of Baal, why don't you go first? Call on your God and see if he can send fire from heaven. And so they start in early in the morning and through till noon. They're calling on the name of their God. Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response and no one answered. They danced around their altar and they sang and they shouted. And no one heard them. Around lunchtime, Elijah began to mock them. Now, mocking our brothers and sisters is not a good idea, okay? If you're under 12, don't go home and start mocking and saying it's in the Bible. But Elijah, he started to mock the prophets of Baal, and he said, shout louder. Surely your God must be sleeping. You can wake him up, don't you think? Or maybe he's on holidays. Maybe he's taking a break. Maybe he's too busy to hear you. So
the people, they shouted louder. And it continued. They shouted and they cried out to their God all the way into the evening. But nothing happened. No one answered. No one paid attention. When evening came, everything changed. It was Elijah's turn. And he invited the people to come to him and help him with his altar. Again, he had his rocks set, his wood, and his sacrifice. And he dug a trench, like a moat, around his altar. This was very unusual. Elijah didn't need to do this. But he dug this trench, and he said to the people, gather four tall jars of water, like big jars of water, and carry them up the mountain and pour them on the sacrifice. And it says in the Bible they did that, and all the wood got wet. And Elijah said, it's not enough water. Do it again. And so they did it again. And Elijah said, it's still not enough water. And so they did it a third time. It says 12 jars of water were poured onto the altar. And the water ran through the offering. It ran through the wood. It ran through the rocks. And it filled the trench around the outside. We know that water and fire aren't usually a good combination. And I think Elijah was trying to say, I am not doing this. This isn't a trick. It is impossible, or nearly impossible, to light wet wood. And so Elijah had no fire in his pockets. He wasn't just, you know, doing a magic show in this moment. He was trusting that God, the God of the impossible, was going to show up and was going to save the day. It says in the Bible that Elijah stepped forward and prayed to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Israel. And he said, let it be known today, God, that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and I have done the things that you have commanded me. Answer me, Lord God, answer me, so that my people will know that you are God and that they will turn their hearts back to you. Then, immediately, fire fell from heaven and burned up the wood and the sacrifice and the stones and the soil and the water on the ground. This is some kind of fire. So if you're drawing your picture, I want to see some awesome fire, okay? That comes from heaven and burns it all away. When the people saw this, they were amazed. They were stunned. They were shocked. And they fell on the ground and they worshiped God. They said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. They worshiped and they worshiped and they worshiped. And as they worshiped and as their hearts turned back to God, God met them not only in his power, but provided their greatest need. It says in the Bible that coming from the Sea of Galilee was a cloud that filled the entire sky, and heavy rain fell onto the people. This is probably one of my favorite stories of the Bible. Can you feel it? I love that in this story, God does something impossible. And he does it in a way that no one could ever have asked or imagined. And he changes everything in a simple moment in time. I don't love this story because I've seen God light sacrifices on fire in the back of the parking lot. Sorry, guys. No matter how much we danced or tried, I imagine that if that was what we were trying to produce from God, if God hadn't told us to, we wouldn't end up with fire coming from heaven. So don't try this at home. Don't go build an altar. And don't pray for fire. Your family won't appreciate it. I love this story because Elijah took a leap of faith. He believed that God was who he said he was. He believed that God would reveal his presence and his power, and he believed that God would provide for the people's greatest need. The reason I wanted to tell this story on Summer Jam Sunday, when we're talking about the power of God, is because I believe that God is a God who still is present to us. I believe God is still a God of power, and I believe that God still provides for our greatest needs. In fact, this has been my prayer since I started planning Summer Jam months ago. We learned this week that God had the power to provide
that God had the power to comfort, that God has the power to heal, that God has the power to forgive, and that God has the power to love us forever. We learned a verse from Matthew 19:26 that said, "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'For mankind this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" This is the kind of God we serve. Amen? So as I was preparing for camp, knowing that I was talking about this great power of God, it seemed that everything around me was going wrong. Isn't that always the way? Or sometimes the way? That situations around us don't always match the truth and the reality we know about God. I would say, "God, I need you to provide, but I'm still short of leaders. Where are they coming from? God, I need your comfort. There are crazy things happening in my life, and I need to focus on you. God, I need you to make a way." Even when we see our circumstance as being different from the reality, we know that God is who he says he is. He always is. And our job is to trust him. So, as I entered into camp this year and began to trust, amazing things started to happen. Days before camp, I still had big holes in my leadership team. And people who I had never met before started calling me. People who attend our church, people who are in this room, started calling me and saying, "Linda, I have the week off work. Would you like me to come and serve at Summer Jam? Could I fill a hole? Do you have any holes that need filling?" People started calling me and saying, "Hey, I'm already serving, but my sister, who you've never met, is in town and would like to serve too. Could they come to Summer Jam?" I ran into somebody at Canadian Tire who said, "I've been meaning to call you. My two girls would love to serve at Summer Jam. How do we work that out?" The day before camp, guys. God does amazing things. He took the team that I had, and he showed me that, "Linda, age and experience will not hinder these people." There were team members who stepped into roles and exceeded my expectations. I was so proud of them. All week long, Brendan and myself and Sarah and others would say, "Did you see that person? I just kind of threw them in there, and they did great." And so, team who are here, I want to say thank you for trusting God with me. Thank you for leading well, and thank you for showing me the power of Jesus. The day before camp, we also had an activity day that was empty. We had been seeking out animals, and Sarah had called, like, the penguins, and then the reindeers, and then the owls, and then there was a fox at one point, and we were onward to the sled dogs. And let me tell you, sled dog owners don't answer their emails in July, because who wants a sled dog in July? And so we were at a leaders meeting 2 days before camp, and Sarah was kind of saying, "Hey, and we're hoping that we would have the sled dogs." And somebody said, "We should pray." And so we stopped everything right there, and we prayed for the sled dog lady to call us back. That seemed kind of like a strange prayer to pray. But, you know, 80 people agreed, "Lord, let the sled dog lady call us back." And within an hour, Sarah had the sled dogs arranged. They were coming for the time that we wanted them to come for. They were available, and she had a team. It was incredible. God provided for our needs. I know. It's great. And as has been said, this has been a full season for me. Some of you know that this week I became an auntie for the very first time, which is a huge blessing and an incredible thing. We've had family in our lives that are sick and in the hospital, and it has seemed at times that there were just too many balls to hang on to in this juggling act of Summer Jam. I can remember on Tuesday night, I was hit by a head cold, of course, exactly what I needed. And I was lying on the floor of my apartment thinking about those NyQuil ads where the dad says to the daughter, "I think I'm going to take a sick day tomorrow," and she's in the wedding dress saying, "It's not going to happen, Dad." That's what I was thinking about. I was lying on the floor going, "God, I think I need a sick day tomorrow." And I heard the voice, "It's not going to happen, Linda." Good. Thank God I need something different to happen. And so I emailed some people, I texted some people, and people started to pray. Wednesday morning, I had a great sleep Tuesday night, and Wednesday morning I had a voice again, which was a huge gift. And I was able to stand on this stage and declare that our God is a God who heals. If I had taken a sick day, I wouldn't have been here to do that. And I know that God wanted our kids to know about the power of God to heal. These may seem like little things to you, but to me, each of these situations were a situation where God showed up, where God was present, where God's power shined through, and where God provided exactly what we need. I know that God answered the big prayers too. I may never see the answers of those prayers, but he heard them. He heard the kids who prayed for the broken relationships in their family. He heard the kids who prayed because they feel lonely at school. He heard the kids who prayed for healing of knees and colds and cancer and hearing loss. He heard the kids who prayed that they would commit their lives to Jesus, receive forgiveness, and live for him no matter what trials come their way. This week, God has been present. This week, God has been powerful. And this week, God has provided. I believe he wants to continue to do that for you today, too. What is your greatest need? Where is the place that you need to present to God and say, God, I need to see you work today? God has provision and comfort and healing and forgiveness and love that he is ready to offer us. A few weeks ago, I was at a conference, and the speaker said that he, at his church, likes to auction things off. And so I was thinking about these five words, provision, comfort, healing, forgiveness, and love. And I was thinking about this idea of an auction this morning. Now, fortunately, God has all of these things in abundance. So there is not going to just be one winner in the room. But as I speak these five truths over us, I want us to try something that's a little different for North Shore, okay? I understand. This is a kid's service, so I'd really love you to buy in, okay? When I read a truth that you need today, I want you to yell out, I want that. Okay, I know it sounds crazy. So before we do it, we're going to try it all together. It'll make you feel better about the whole concept, okay? So on the count of three, we're all going to yell out together, I want that. Okay, got it. All right. One, two, three. I want that! All right, I think I was louder than you guys. Now, I do have a mic helping me out, but you guys can yell loud, okay? This is a good moment. And so I'm going to read these five truths that we declared over the kids this week. And if you have a need in this area of your life, I really do encourage you boldly to ask God for it. Say, I want it, okay? God has the power to provide. God has the power to comfort. God has the power to heal. God has the power to forgive. God has the power to love us forever. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you are a God of great power. And we thank you that today we can walk into the reality of you being a God who is present to us here. You being a God who is all-powerful, in control, always with us. And you being a God who can provide for every need that we have. God, I pray that the people who have declared their desire for more of you this morning, their desire for a need in their life, God, I pray that you would meet their need this morning. God, I pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to us this week as the all-powerful, amazing, incredible God. And I thank you, God, for all that you have done in this season in the life of our church. God, we expect that you are going to continue to work in our midst. And we expect to celebrate more and more stories of what God is doing here. Thank you, God, for being with us. We pray these things in your name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand and respond in song.